You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Silicon Valley After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Silicon Valley After Show.
Baby, when you talk like that.
Yo, yo, yo.
It's the finale for Silicon Valley
on AfterBuzz TV.
We're back, and so was my judge. How lovely. I know.
Heck yes.
Nice to see everybody.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Let's hit some intros. I'm Jeffrey Masters.
JB Zimmerman.
I'm Sophie Schlacey.
And we will begin.
And our hips don't lie.
And our hips are not lying. So it's the finale. We had our big payoff moment. Richard doesn't save the day, but he compressed his compression algorithm.
He totally saved the day. He swooped in and, well, Ehrlich kind of saved the day in the beginning because he got them there, but...
And a hotel suite.
And a hotel suite to boot.
Well, yeah. Different days. They both sort of saved... The whole experience.
Alternating.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I thought that was
team.
A very funny reaction to the fight on stage. Like, no, no, no. Like, we're going to take care of you. We are so sorry.
I know, right?
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. I was very surprised. But I was not surprised that Ehrlich milked it for all he could get.
Absolutely.
But I was like, you got this man fired, divorced, like, all his clout score is ruined.
Poor God.
Like, I know.
Ehrlich is responsible for two divorces for one man. And
I know. Oh, yeah.
Because the first one too.
For that guy.
Oh, it's a hard life.
At least you got a punch in there.
Yeah. So I looked it up. I was so curious about the Weissman score. It is like a fictional algorithm to compare compression.
Okay.
Codes. Compression codes.
Look at you, smarty pants.
Compression. Because the whole time I was like, what is this Weissman score? It sounds so official. But they didn't make it up.
I had no idea what it was. So thank you for looking it up. I was just like, oh, it's something that I don't understand. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, that's a lot of the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, how high can we go?
I was confused, actually, because I sort of thought lower was better at first. And then, obviously, when Richard got up there and was doing his thing, I figured out that larger was better.
Right.
Opposite.
As it often is.
But oh, God. But yeah, totally clueless on that, but I'm glad we figured it out. And go Richard.
Yeah. And so he's still, they're able to keep the same business model, just do it much faster, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes, like, they, you know, these, like, 30-minute shows happen so fast. I'm like, wait, what are we talking about?
And I think the people who actually work in tech understand it, and
that'd be nice.
It works for them. I was reading today, there are a lot of articles online about how, like, Silicon Valley watches the show Silicon Valley, and there's a lot of, like, inside baseball stuff that's fun for them.
I was reading, too, about, like, the choosing the car that was on the first episode that, like, I don't know if it drove itself, but it was, like, super tiny, like a one-seater, and they were going for, like, an air car, which is, like, a giant bubble, but they just couldn't get it, and I was shocked by how affordable some of these cars were.
Oh, hey.
So the narrow car is something that exists.
Yeah, baby.
Wow.
It's more of a commuter car, but it could go from 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. That's faster than my, like, Versa.
That would be excellent for LA traffic.
That would be. And parking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just pulled onto, like, a sidewalk.
Yep.
Parked directly.
Not a driveway, just, like, at the sidewalk.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
The show, he saves, like, their lives. I loved the scene with what else can we say, the dicks, where they came up with
it.
Give us the female's perspective. To me, it was not vulgar because I'm talking about it in, like, scientific ways, and the word ratio, like, was it dick-to-floor ratio? Kept it from being
kind
vulgar?
Of
did you think so?
No, but, I mean, I'm not easily offended by that kind of stuff. I thought it was really funny, and I remember thinking at the time, I was like, I actually think that things have been, you know, created this way totally on accident.
Yeah.
Dicking around, if you will. Pardon the pun. But I I of course don't have any examples. I didn't have time to do any research before we got in the booth today. But I think that, you know, this is not the first thing to be created on accident when people are just goofing around and doing something completely stupid. I didn't think it was vulgar. I was a little bit irritated when TJ Miller asked the female reporter how many guys she could jerk off. Or whatever he asked her. I was like, ugh, do we have to go there? But the scene itself I thought was really funny.
I agree. I thought it was one of the funniest of actually the whole series.
Definitely. I was just impressed at how long they went into it. I mean, the, the art department must have had a field day. I mean, the diagrams and the graphs. There was one that had an X, Y, and Z. It was a three-dimensional graph on the whiteboard.
It was really clearly well thought out. I would love to be in the writer's room while they were coming up with that scene.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just like, everybody's like one-upping each other.
Yes.
Like puns and whatnot.
I love our puns.
I know. And we're going to think of some more. We have a quick break. Maria is going to tell us about her new book. So take it away.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. And I want to share my newest book, The Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, with you. Basically, every woman always stops me and asks me how I lost 40 pounds. So I decided to put it all in one book. Everything I did to lose 40 pounds step by step, and how you can too, is in here. I did it with no time, no money, and no willpower, and now I'm going to show you how to do it too. You can pre-order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, wherever books are sold, and it's out June 3rd. So I hope you guys love it. I hope it helps you in your weight loss journey. And please, please tweet me and update me on your progress at Maria Menounos. Thanks.
Okay.
So I have a copy of The Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness right here. It's heavy. There's a lot of good stuff in here.
Lots
a lot of
pictures.
Look, The Every Girl's Guide to Workouts. Look at this, JB.
I am.
You
I
like that?
I do like that.
We should send that to all the females on the show.
It's got something for everybody.
One female.
Can we get one more? Oh, no,
here,
we just
I'll
need
just
the one,
take this
actually.
Home with me. No, it's pink. You can spot it on bookshelves. That's awesome. Oh, look, there's Kim Kardashian wrote a little something. Khloe Kardashian wrote a little something. Serena Williams. Hello. This is awesome, and I really need to look into this. There's food in here. So it's not even just, you know, workout stuff. It's
got it all.
Everything. Very well-rounded. Good job, Maria.
Such an every girl.
Hell
Jack
yeah.
of all trades,
okay,
really.
So speaking of the girls, I have to confess.
Of the girls.
I'm tired of the Monica storyline where she keeps ditching the guys and coming back and ditching them and coming back. When she was saying, like, it's over for good now, goodbye, I was like, okay, finally we can put the storyline to rest.
No,
please, I don't want to.
Let me bring my female perspective. No, I agree with you. I'm tired of that. I feel like they don't really know what to do with her. She could be so much more, and especially with the fact that they're losing Peter Gregory as a character. We don't address it, obviously, this episode, but there's so much that they could do with her, and they're not doing anything with her. And I was actually, we had talked, I think, in our first episode, or no, maybe our second episode, about how whether or not she was going to be a love interest for Richard. And I was annoyed. I said, I don't want her to be, but I have a feeling she might be. And then in this episode, they kind of hinted towards it a little bit when she said, you know, we don't have that coworkers policy anymore. Now they do have the coworkers policy again. So I'm hoping that they stay not romantically involved, because really, that's so tacky. You can do so much better. Richard needs to be with an awkward girl and or he doesn't even need to be with a girl. He's fine.
I don't picture them together.
I don't either.
Like, if it happens, it'll happen because, like, writers wrote it, not because they're, like, meant to be.
It
is a little convenient, I will say. I mean, as much as we'd like to root for the main character to get the girl always in sort of storylines with shows, I feel like it's a little too easy. They should try to incorporate some more characters. Maybe Mochaccino?
Mochaccino did not come back.
Where
I wrote that
she?
In my notes.
Yeah. IMDb lied to us.
IMDb.
How dare they?
I feel robbed,
how rude.
Really.
I know. But I also didn't know if Monica was saying goodbye because they were like, we lost Peter Gregory, we need to just like cut her out of the storyline completely. And then like new investors would come in via this conference. I'm confused because now she's obviously staying.
Yes. And as a side note, she was like, you know, Peter's going to want to be more involved now. And I was like, you already knew at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how they're going to they can't talk around him forever. It's just going to get way too much of an elephant in the room scenario. They have to cut it clean at some point. Maybe they're just trying to give themselves time. Maybe they're going to do a time lapse between the first and second seasons. But back to the female point.
Sure.
My problem with the show in general is up until today, Monica was really the only female character. And besides her, she plays the straight woman, which a lot of women are enlisted to do in male comedies. And that's fine. That's how it goes. It can be funny. But all the other women characters that came in and out were all, like, sexual in some capacity. There was Guilfoyle's girlfriend, and her whole storyline was about, like, who's she going to sleep with.
Right.
There was Mochaccino, the stripper. There was the app, the nipple alert app. They've gotten a lot of flack for that. It's really, really sexist. And my thought before tonight's episode was, like, you know, my boyfriend is in tech, and he does work with women. There's not a lot of them, but there are women, and for better or worse, they're interesting.
Yeah, but are they pretty?
No. No. That is totally a generalization. Kidding. Some of them are. Some of them aren't. You can be pretty and smart.
Of course.
Of course. Okay. And, like, there are certainly awkward females. And we saw a little bit of that today, which made me happy. They were presenting up there and in a very forgettable, like, five-second scene. But there's definitely room to play with these female engineers and these smart girls.
Yeah, and I think that now that they've made the statement that, look, but we're only, like, replicating what actually exists, now it'll open up the time where they're forming, their company's growing. They need to take on a little computer hacker from, like, 24, has got a couple cute, really girl, cute girls that are hackers. Just migrate them over. I don't know, I just picture that they will need somebody, and I think that will, like, shake up, like, the energy of the show in an amazing way.
Yes.
Right. Well, they started to do a little bit of that in the last episode. They had the blonde, programmer who couldn't really write code,
right?
With Dinesh, and then they had Thomas's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, but I guess again, like all person. Like sexual. Yeah.
It was still like a very sexist kind of character. It wasn't. I mean, she didn't really have.
Yeah.
Right. But at least, I mean, the blonde girl that met Dinesh at least had a legitimate place in the TechCrunch before they met.
Yeah. Even though she couldn't code or write code,
still stereotypical.
I know. And, I mean, TV is so interesting because it can be changed so quickly. You know, like, if you have a problem with a movie, sorry. But with TV, like, they're writing it at the same time. They're listening to reviews. There's a second season where they get, like, hash things out over, like, a summer and, like, think things through.
Right.
It'll be really interesting to see if they, like, hear and recognize and want to change things. Or if they say, no, we have a really specific point and message that we're making that there are not that many women in tech. And we're going to stick with it.
I hope that they give Monica a little bit more to work with because Amanda Cruz, the actress, is amazing. We love her. And I think that they could do so much more with that character, like we said. Yeah. And I hope that they do introduce another female. She doesn't have to be a regular character, but even, like, to the extent that Gavin Belson's on the show, he's not on every episode, but yeah. He's still, like, a central part of the storyline. Like, there are other women that they're going to be working with.
And for lack of a better word, Monica's character served as a plot device. Nothing more. And, yeah, you can't have that, if, like, in today's TV world.
Yeah. But they're smart. And Mike Judge is obviously super smart and has some amazing – I mean, Office Space was so good and – he cast Jen Aniston in that. So,
yeah.
Did you know she was in that? I know you haven't seen that movie, have you?
I watched the trailer.
Close enough. I feel like Mike Judge, you know, has it together and he can really.
Yeah.
Well, he's actually worked in that world. So he's experienced firsthand sort of the dynamic. Obviously, it's a lot different now than it probably was back when he worked in it. But it's still, I'd love to see the sort of real data and ratios of how many women are in the industry. I mean, because they kind of had a little bit of numbers last episode.
Yeah, I wonder how factual those are. Like the 12 and 15%.
Yeah. I don't know.
I want to see like the race is broken down to like how many Indians, how many like white males, how many bearded males.
Well, they kept going back to that group. They need like a tall white guy, a skinny Asian guy.
And I think they incorporated that a lot
throughout
the season.
I like that today they really incorporated how like iffy this whole industry is. Like it's like today you're at the top and in 2 weeks like you're going down.
Yes.
Yeah, it was interesting to see both Dinesh and Guilfoyle go up to that guy who their friend who they thought was doing super well, and even he was just a facade of what their company's success was.
Yeah. I think for the sake of the viewers, the Pied Piper as a company can't struggle for that much longer. Now we want to see it blossoming and like hiring on these other people, some females, bringing Monica in more, you know, like have her like run the business side of this.
I think this was a perfect segue into that. You know, we're really seeing this was this big triumphant moment for the team. And now I think we are going to see them maybe stumble a little bit more because it's not going to be easy street, of course. I think that we're going to start to have a little bit more of that satisfaction, a little bit more of that payoff in the second season, I hope.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, they nailed the whole presentation. Obviously, Thomas rewrote the whole thing in like a day.
Yeah.
Just a few hours. So that was interesting to see him just nail it and what that will mean for the next season. I mean, how many more problems can they have? Given that what they just showed seemed to work.
Of course. And I with all the backers were wanting to talk to them, like money people, I just want to see like the first season where like they're opening the doors, like unveiling the new logo on like an office of 40.
Yes. This is the perfect opportunity to bring in like new characters. I was about to say a ton, but we don't need a ton of new characters. We have some solid characters already, but a few new, like, I think, steady players.
Definitely.
Totally. Yeah. And I have to say, I think that this show, I don't know how long it'll last for, maybe like another season, two, three, whatever. I think that what we're going to remember about this show is it's that that HBO show that was about the hackers that really kicked TJ Miller into like mainstream TV and film. I think it's going to be his launching pad.
I think so too. I mean, we've said that all season.
So. I hope so.
Yeah. It's such a perfect show for him to play that character with these, like, nerds around him. And, yeah, I just think he's so, like, fantastic.
Yeah. I love him. I mean, we've been fans of him for a long time here. But I also think, I hope that it does good things for Thomas Middleditch, who plays Richard. TJ, close enough.
Close.
We were talking about how Thomas and TJ Miller used to do stand-up together and used to, like, be comics together.
They've known each other for 10 years, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
They actually had a two-man improv in Chicago called Practice Scaring a Bear. So look that up, people.
Did they have any input on each other's casting, or is it coincidental?
I'm not sure. I know that TJ Miller spoke with Mike Judge, sort of convincing him that he was right for the role, and sort of had to throw in that he'd gain weight and do all this facial hair stuff. Obviously, he came through on that promise.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So TJ was convincing Mike Judge about TJ, not about Richard.
Right. Okay. So I don't know if they may have cast Thomas before, and since they were buddies, TJ knew about it. But I know that TJ, because Mike Judge is notorious for sort of having a very clear vision of who he wants to cast. And TJ sort of ended up convincing him that he would be a good fit.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of it, but Thomas is coming up in a, he was cast on a new movie I was reading about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think he's filming actually right now because I tried to get him in here with us and he was busy. But I actually really want to go back and watch his stand-up now because he's so good at this character. He is like perfect and I can't imagine him doing anything else and I really want to because I think he's great.
How, have you seen it or not?
Not yet.
I'm going to go home and Google it. Socially awkward he is in life. Like, I know that it's a character he's playing, but, like, how much of that is, like, a big part of him?
That's what I'm curious about, too. So
and he was saying interview that he gets approached all the time by people in the tech world sort of asking him about tech questions, and he knows nothing about it.
Well, like, that's, like, the story about TJ Miller asking Elon Musk, like, if he watched a show and, like, something or something, and he had no idea who Elon Musk was. And someone's like, he is Tesla. And he's like, okay, what's a Tesla? I'm like, oh, God. Like, they know nothing.
That's funny.
Well, to their credit, I think it's difficult, I mean, in this world, because the billionaires are so sort of behind the scenes, to notice when you meet somebody famous. I mean, I feel like there's maybe some cameos at the end that, because I'm not attuned into that world that well, didn't notice.
The Google CEO made a quick cameo. Eric, is it Eric? I don't remember. But, I mean, no, actually, that's a great point. I know who Elon Musk is, and I know the name. Would I ever recognize him? Probably not.
I've actually read a lot of articles about Silicon Valley, watching the show Silicon Valley, and a lot of people have given these great quotes about it. And it's funny reading their names. Like, Elon Musk is in there. Obviously, I recognize that name. But there are a lot of names that I don't recognize. And even
you need to have the parentheses next to it.
Yeah. Exactly. And even sometimes I don't recognize their companies because they're like those really hip, cool startups that are getting a lot of attention and have a lot of funding. Like, they're a big deal. I just am too dumb to know what they are.
You know what? It's kind of peeved about the Disrupt Challenge on the show today that it was Cooley, which has billions of dollars backing. It's like maybe like a public traded company with stocks versus Pied Piper. Like, how can you expect little small companies like that to compete when, like, the major corporation is, like, throwing money, money, money at them?
TV magic.
TV magic.
Love it.
Well, that's definitely a commentary on Google. I mean, it just sort of eats up these companies. And these once they get huge, they just can do that. And they can just swallow up. I mean, you saw Facebook bought Instagram when that came out. It's sort of crazy to see those sort of smaller companies have to fight up so much.
It is crazy. And I won't name names, but I have a friend who developed a really successful product that was bought by a huge company, and he made obscene amounts of money off of it, and it's not even around anymore. They just bought it to kill it.
Because they did not want the competition?
Mm-hmm.
So do you know if your friend regrets selling it now?
I don't think so. He's doing very, very, very well.
I just wonder if it's like, I'm filthy rich, but I miss my company. I don't know if it's that kind of thing.
No, I think he's really proud of it, and it had some very good years and made a lot of money off of it and got some great, phenomenal opportunities out of it and now is doing super well for himself. But it's like they just buy it, and they can just throw this money and be like, hey. We're just going to get you off the market.
I know that, too, when, like, every time Facebook announces, like, a new thing, like, or every company announces a new thing. I remember when Instagram was like, we're doing video now. I was like, goodbye, Vine. R.I.P. You know, like, why am I going to do that when I'm already
Vine's
on the
Vine's still kind of hanging around, and I'm surprised.
Shockingly.
Yeah.
Give it a couple years. But Facebook just announced that they're doing, like, a Shazam-style app so we can, like, recognize the music playing in the background.
I heard about that, and I also heard it's a weird privacy thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I'm not into that.
Because I don't know if it's, I mean, it's got to be a setting, but if you're typing your update, like, hey guys, like, doing the after show for Silicon Valley, it's the finale, and then they're like, oh, Shakira's playing in the background, it just recognizes that and puts it in the post. Well, you select, like, yes or no, obviously, but it's like, that's kind of terrifying.
Right.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on and on about this subject. There's
so
many, like,
weird
things.
I still have my first smartphone. I'm just saying.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. It's a four. Going well, baby. Should we jump to some predictions, shall we say?
Yeah. I think so.
Cool.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Okay, so we kind of already said we want to see it expanding. We want to see the female population booming.
Yes. One way to potentially do that, so TJ Miller has talked about how he gained 30 pounds for the role.
I didn't know that, actually.
Very
committed. Yeah, very committed. So he gained a lot of weight, but he's since lost it, and he looks great now. And in an interview that I read with him, he said, they asked him, like, are you going to have to put that weight back on for season two? And he said, at the time, they weren't renewed yet. And he said, well, if there's a season two, I had talked to Mike Judge about it, and we really think that, you know, Ehrlich would be that guy that's totally into CrossFit and, like, gets a girlfriend, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm dating this girl, so I'm really into CrossFit. So I think maybe he'll get a girlfriend and he'll be super in shape and he'll just be this, like, gym rat.
New
so, like, that's easier to maintain. Or, like, I mean, you want to as an actor, I feel like. I mean, I can definitely
see
that. It's
not good for your body to fluctuate that much.
Oh, my God, not 30 pounds.
Well, yeah, I can see that as not a complete cop-out. I mean, a lot of people, when they get success financially, they all...
Oh, that's totally in his character to do that.
And also they're perfectionists to go, like, to the extreme, to be like, look at me with, like, 90 pounds of muscle. Like me. We'll be twins. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated to see who they would cast.
I know. This is all hypothetical. We have nothing confirmed.
Yeah,
but I would love to see Ehrlich with a girlfriend. I think that she would be some sort of stereotype that would enrage me, but I also think it would be incredibly amusing, and I wouldn't really be that mad.
Definitely. Speaking of girlfriends, do you think that Richard and Monica are never going to happen now because they're obviously working together?
I think if it happens, it'll be like a drunken kiss once.
Maybe there's going to be some sexual tension.
Maybe.
And well, they can't act on it because they're coworkers.
Well, that's why I want to see, like, a nerdy girl hacker joining, like, the actual office. Just to give that, like, sexual tension and energy and, like, how can we talk and be ourselves when we're, like, we're trying to impress this girl. They're all, like, sex starved 13-year-olds.
Right. Yes. They do the girl nerd well, I feel like, on Big Bang Theory. We talk about Big Bang Theory a lot, and these are totally different shows. But I feel like they could do some really fun stuff with a nerdy girl.
Yeah.
Definitely. Would they have a good opportunity with the company theoretically growing so they can incorporate a lot of new people, I think.
Yeah. Do you have anything specific about next season?
Ooh, I would... I don't know. I'm trying to think of what problems they can run into because it seemed like their program worked for what they wanted it to do. I'm trying to think other than just interesting office dynamics, they can really go with it.
I mean, I feel like there could still be copycats. They've kind of done that storyline already, but now that they're going to theoretically become successful.
Yeah, and now that they're approaching season two with like a massive public image. You know, it's not just like a secret company that like was bought by Peter Gregory or not bought, invested.
I have a question. What do we think they're going to do with Big Head?
Ooh.
They showed him just right at the end there.
Oh, yeah.
Being like, oh, snap.
Yeah, just completely forgot about
you, sir. He'll never be fired. Not. Like a big percentage. Oh, that's interesting. I forgot about him.
Yeah.
I mean, his character doesn't have a lot to do now because the battle between Huey and Pied Piper seems to have solved itself.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what he
I
could
feel
do.
Like he's perfectly primed to be like the mole that Gavin is trying to use against.
I hope so. Because we've talked about that before too, and it never really came to fruition.
Yeah, I feel like those breadcrumbs are like planted though.
Yes.
We'll see about that. I'm also excited to see about Jared, like what happens with him.
Oh my gosh, yeah, he's my favorite character.
He was like Jared's playing like Billy Eichner today, and I was like, okay, Jared.
I feel like he's at least becoming interesting and like changing a little
bit. Yeah, I want to see him like evolving. More control. He can have like a little intern to boss around.
Yeah.
So until season two, where can we guys find Jared? He's doing other shows at AfterBuzz. Tell us about that.
I'm going to be doing Young and Hungry on Wednesdays, ABC Family.
Yes.
So that starts later this month.
What about you?
Exciting. I'm doing Riot on Tuesdays and Mirren on Thursdays.
I'm doing 24 coming up, The Fosters, both on Mondays, my big day. And until then, I'm on Twitter, JeffMasters1. What about you guys?
At JB Zimmerman. JB underscore Zimmerman, sorry.
Wow.
Very key.
Key.
Give it to us, Sophie.
I am at Sophie Schlazy. I'll spell it for you guys one last time. SophieSchillaci.
All right, guys. Until next season. We'll see you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.